that I just love. I love when God, when we make room for God, give him space, give him time. Amen. And he's just getting started. Man, worship and praise is like the appetizer that breaks down the partition to allow the Lord to move. And then the word is ministered, and there's preaching, and there's teaching, and then there's demonstration. Amen. Teaching, preaching, and demonstration. That's the ministry of Jesus. That's what he did. So wherever you are, wherever you find yourself, there's preaching to the lost. There's teaching to the disciples. And then there's a demonstration of the Holy Spirit to every single person that faith is released in. Amen. I want to welcome you to New Freedom. Welcome you online. Thank you for joining us today. It's a great day in the house of the Lord. Amen. It's a great day, and God's got great things. I'm going to receive the offering today, and you say, well, Pastor, how can you receive? Well, the Bible tells us in Hebrews, men receive the offering, but he receives it. Amen? We receive it naturally, but really you're given to God. You're not given to man. You're given to God. Amen? But I want you to go to Genesis 8, because there's some promises here, and they're all through the scripture. And Pastor Lacey talked about benefits and promises, and it got stirring in my spirit that when you find out a promise that's yours, you grab a hold of that thing and you don't let go of it. Amen. If you know something is yours, you don't let anything get in the way of it. Amen. And the more you find out about the promises God has for you, the more you hold on to them, the more you walk in them, and the more you see God manifest himself in your life. And I want to share this with you because there's many things that we see in the natural as believers that we know they're promises. We know they're guarantees. And there's things written right with them in Scripture, but we have a hard time grasping them as a guarantee and a promise for us. And I'm going to give you one here this morning. Genesis 8, I'm going to start in verse 20, and this is right after the flood. This is Noah, and it's God's covenant, and we know what the rainbow represents. It represents that God is not going to flood the earth again. Amen? So it goes in verse 20, then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and he took of every clean animal and every clean bird, and he offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake. So there's a promise right there. God is never again going to curse the ground for man's sake. Okay, so you don't have to worry about him flooding the earth again. All right, don't worry about the glaciers. They're fine. They're going to stay exactly where they need to stay at the appointed time. Amen? He's going to make a new heaven and a new earth anyway. All right, so all of what we see is going to be done with, and he's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. All right, so this is a promise that he gave to God's people. He's never going to flood the earth again. And it goes on and says, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. And you're saying to yourself, well, this is an offering message. Here it is, verse 22. He says, while the earth remains, it's remaining, okay? Today, the earth is remaining. God created the earth. It's going to sustain itself till he's done with what he wants to do in it. Amen? The church is going to sustain itself till the Lord takes the church away. What God produces and creates will last the test of time. Guess what, church? You were created by God. He made and created you. You will last the time that God has intended for you to last. And you will do a great work here on the earth because God has great things for you. It says, while the earth remains, number one, there's seed time and harvest. Number two, there's cold and heat. Number three, there's winter and summer. Number four, there's day and night, shall not cease. The last three, cold, heat, winter, summer, day and night, we don't even think about them because they are so in us that it's a guarantee, right? You don't wake up in the morning before the sun comes up and take an hour of intercessory prayer and say, Lord, please let the sun come up again today. Does anybody do that? Don't raise your hand. It's a guarantee in you. It's an innate knowing so deep in you, you know the sun's going to come up. You know when the leaves start changing that wintertime's coming. It's a sign. You know it in your heart. Seed time and harvest should be that in us that we know when we sow a seed, it's a guarantee there's going to be a harvest. You don't have to pray when you sow the seed if it's going to happen. You pray in faith knowing it's already at work. When the Lord planted Jesus in you as a believer, that incorruptible seed is a guarantee that the kingdom of heaven is going to operate and grow and develop and produce in your life. Amen? Amen. I'm preaching better than you're shouting. When you understand seed time and harvest, incorruptible kingdom seed gets planted, there is a guarantee there's a harvest. Guarantee. None of us control the season, the cold, and the heat. Do not control your seed. Let the Lord bring the harvest and what he's going to do. He will bring exactly what's needed. And you can find out, I feel this in my spirit. I can't back it up with scripture. But when I read that, I believe seed time and harvest is first, because everything to do with seed time and harvest is directly affected by the second, the next three, cold, heat, winter, summer, day, and night. All seed is affected by those 3 points there. Think about that, because there's certain seed that operates when it's cold. They grow and they winter through and they grow in the spring. Day and night, there's growing degree days. Things are affected by seed. Amen. So as spiritual, as the kingdom of God, we can affect our seed to make it grow and continue to grow, continue to produce, and never lack a day in our lives because there's a continual harvest. Notice it says seed time. It doesn't say harvest time. So when you sow that seed, a time, an appointed time, this morning, that seed in the kingdom has the possibility of reaping a harvest continually from this day forward. Think about that. Seed time and harvest. It's a guarantee, church. I want you to get it deep down on the inside. Wherever you sow a seed, there's a harvest. Even in the natural things. I'm not talking about just spirit. Even in the natural things, what you sow into, you're going to reap a harvest in that because it's a promise of God. It's a guarantee that comes to pass. What I sow time into my wife, amen. Guess what? There's a harvest from that. There's a blessing that comes out of that. Whatever you're thinking of, when you go to college, you're sowing time, finances and time to gain knowledge in an area. Guess what? There needs to be a harvest from that seed that you sowed. That time you spent at school is appointed time for you to reap a harvest from it. Don't sow into areas that you don't want to harvest in there. Amen. If you don't want a negative anything in your life, don't sow negative. When you sow love, you're going to reap love. When you sow compassion, you're going to reap compassion. When God sent Jesus, he sowed Jesus into the earth to redeem mankind. So he's reaping a harvest every single day from the seed of Jesus being planted in every single person that says yes to Jesus. Amen. So every single one of you, there's harvest of the kingdom taking place in you because Jesus is sown in you. Amen. And expect it today. Expect it, a seed being sown in you. And I'm sowing seed right now. I'm sowing the word in you. So guess what? You're going to have a harvest from this word. You're going to have a harvest from this word. You say, how does that have to do with finances? When you sow your finances, guess what? You're going to have a harvest. God is going to operate on that seed and produce something that's going to be supernatural that you'll be like, oh my goodness, I didn't know this could really happen. With God, all things are possible. You sow the seed by faith in seed time, an appointed time, today into the kingdom of God, and you can expect a supernatural harvest from it. A supernatural harvest. Nowhere in the Bible does God take somebody's seed and cut it off when it's towards him. When you sow praise to God, you're going to reap praise in your spirit. When you sow worship to God, you're going to reap worship in your life. Every opportunity in your life is seed time and harvest. Everything. Your time today to say, you know what? I'm coming to church today. Guess what? You're going to reap a blessing from coming to church today. Every single one of you is going to leave here better than when you came. It's a guarantee. It has to happen. It has to happen. When the word is ministered, there has to be a harvest from it. Just like yesterday, there's a harvest from the seed sown. You may not see everything that you think you want to see or the time appointed you want to, but every seed that I know, it has a different germination rate. Amen. You sow into your kids, you may not reap what you think you ought to see in your kids tomorrow, But when they get older, you'll start seeing what you sowed into them years ago. You think, I wish they did it sooner. But guess what? Let the Lord work on that. Let the Lord do what He does best. Amen. So whatever you have sown into for the kingdom of God, keep your faith attached to that seed. Your faith is really the fertilizer that allows God to operate in that seed and produce the increase in that seed. Amen. So when you plant the seed, don't just leave it by the wayside. Believe God into that seed and expect vision and expect a harvest from it. Don't sow into something that you're not expecting a harvest. Amen. And here's the other thing. If I had a bag of seed up here and I never sowed it, over time the germination would go down. I mean, it would produce less. The quickest way to get a production from a seed is to sow it fresh. So when the Lord brings you something and He says release it into something, do it. Do it. Do it quick, because it gives God the opportunity to do a quick work back. But if I never sow the seed, I got a bag of seed, and that's the best I'll ever have. I'll eat that 50 pounds of seed and then die. But I could eat half of it and sow the other half, and I could be producing bags, truckloads of harvest from half a bag of seed. But if I never sow, He gives seed to the sower. Amen. And bread to the eater. We can believe the bread in the eating part, but do you believe the seed to the sower part? Every person has seed that they have to sow. And I want to encourage you. I'm not going to command you to sow, but I'm going to encourage you to sow. Amen. Because a seed in your hand has no power till it goes into the ground and dies. And when you say, you know what, Lord, I know You have great things for me. You have a plan for my life. And You have given me seed to sow. And I'm going to be a faithful man of God. I'm going to be a faithful woman of God. Because Your word says there's seed time and there's harvest. And I need a harvest. And I need You, God, on the scene in my life. I need You, God. I can't do it alone. This is Your time to sow this morning. We're going to receive the tithes and the offerings for New Freedom this morning, and then at the end of the service, we're going to do a special offering for Evangelist Nick and Jasmine, okay? So there'll be two separate ones. So right now, it's the tithe and the offering for New Freedom. Amen? Amen. Hey, a couple of you got it. Seed time and harvest. Can you imagine if you had to pray for cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night? Think about this. Think about the promises that God has in Scripture. Seed time and harvest is so powerful. When you grab a hold of it by faith, it'll change your life. It'll cause you to want to sow. You won't be wondering. It's more of not if I should sow, it's where I should sow. And then you get to the point where I need to sow because I need an harvest. I need to do that. I need to sow into this. I need to sow in. There's no question anymore. The only question is, Lord, how much do You want me to give? How much do you want me to sow? Amen. So faith is a powerful thing with seed time and harvest. And I want you to understand that seed time, harvest is production. That's the reaping. But seed time is the sowing. And nothing is harvested if there isn't any seed time. Nothing is harvested. So if you're believing God, I want you to put your faith out there today. I want you to sow and believe God. Amen. Even for today's message, this man of God that's coming up here to minister, I'm telling you, it's great ground. Amen. You can sow into that as well. Powerful. Powerful. Because it doesn't say where the harvest is coming. It's going to come to you. But you know, when you sow into something, there's a harvest for them too. Don't limit God. Don't limit God. If I could have the ushers, if you need an offering envelope, listening online, there's ways to give. If you need an offering envelope, they're in the chairs. If you need one, just raise your hand. Amen. Again, online, you can, all the ways to give, NFC Give at Venmo, New Freedom Church, newfreedom-church.com/give, all kinds of ways to give. All right. Amen. 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 But who are you giving to? That's what you got to ask yourself. Why are you giving, And who are you given to? You're given to God. You're sowing into the kingdom of heaven, the creator of heaven and earth. The Bible says purpose in your heart. Purpose in your heart. That's for an offering. A tithe is 10% of your increase. If you have a job and you receive wages, 10% goes to God. That's your tithe to the local church. Amen? Who's ready to give? Okay, one person. Praise God. Amen. I heard the 5,000 online. I heard you guys online. Praise God. Amen. Well, we're going to receive. Go ahead, ushers. Receive the offering this morning. Hallelujah. Why the earth remains, so it's never too late to sow. It's never too late to sow. Many people, they'll ask, like, going in ministry, they're like, time's short. I got to really go after it. Time's short. Time's always been short. Time's always been short in our eyes. But in God's eyes, he can make up the difference. I believe there's seed being sown today. There's going to be a quick turnaround with it. It's going to be a quick turnaround because God's doing things quick. God is increasing. The church is increasing. The kingdom is increasing. And it's the time is short. God's doing a work. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. If you could bow your heads, you listening online, be in agreement. Amen. Faith moves mountains. That's what I got in my spirit right now. Some of you are believing God for a miracle in your finances. Believing God for a miracle in your finances. Or bills to be paid, things to change. All you hear day in and day out is about how bad things are, how bad the economy is, how bad inflation is, how bad interest rates are, how bad the gas price, everything's bad, bad. No, not in the church. God is good, so everything with God is good. And you're of God, children. You're of God, so everything is good for you. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you. We're in agreement together as the men and women of God that your word says, as the earth remains, there's seed time and there's harvest. And Father, we're taking this time right now to sow because we know now is the time to sow and you will bring forth a supernatural harvest based off of what is sown. How you sow, the measure you use, it'll be measured back to you. Good measure pressed down, shaking together and running over. Father, I thank you now for every seed sown today. Good measure pressed down, shaking it. It's going to run over. Get ready, church. Get ready, church. Hallelujah. What are you believing for? It's coming. It's coming. Because the faithfulness to serve brings about the kingdom of heaven in your life. And we ask that you bless this offering, bless this tithe. Thank you for blessing New Freedom and every single person that is attached to it, Lord God. Your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Well, without further notice, I'm going to call the great and mighty evangelist. What's that? Nothing. We're online. We're trying to get it together. God bless you. Come on up. I need to introduce this man if you don't know him. Some of you have met Evangelist Nick. He's been here before listening online. This is a great man of God from Canada originally, but now in Florida, traveling the world, traveling the nation, loves Jesus with all of his heart, and I can't wait to see and wait to hear what he has for us. Bless you, brother.
Stand to your feet real quick. Lift your hands to heaven. Say, today is my day. Say, today is my day. This morning and tonight. Turn to your neighbor, say, tonight's my night. But this morning's your morning too. Keep those hands lifted. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that like Pastor David was praying, you're here. And you're here with goodness. You're here with mercy. You only have good things in store for your people here this morning. So, Father, I thank you that you answer the cry of every hungry heart here this morning. That whatever it is they're believing you for, whatever it is they're facing in their life, whatever mountain might be standing in their way, I thank you all it takes is a mustard seed of faith to see the biggest mountain moved. So, Lord, right now, I thank you ahead of time for everything you're about to do in these two meetings today. In Jesus' name. Now, I want you to take a few moments. And only you and Jesus, begin talking to him. Talk to him in your heart. Talk to him out loud. And get that thing that you're believing him for settled in your heart. And begin thanking him that that miracle is going to happen. That that breakthrough is going to happen. That whatever it is you need, whatever it is you're believing God for, that he is here to do it. You know, a lot of people think that God is lazy. So they give him little prayers, baby prayers. But I want to encourage you, the same faith it took you to get saved, simply believing and saying, Jesus, come in. That same faith it took you to get saved is the same faith you use for everything else in your life. Same faith for healing. Same faith for finances. Whatever it might be. So get that thing in your heart. And now begin to open your mouth. Begin to pray. Begin to call on God. Come on, out loud. Out loud. With your mouth. Whatever it is you need. Lord, I thank you that you're my healer. Lord, I thank you you're my deliverer. I thank you you're my provider. I thank you you haven't forgotten about my kids or my grandkids. I thank you you said that me and my whole household we'd be saved. So Lord, I call in my kids. I call in my grandkids. I call in my nieces and nephews, whatever it is. Whatever it is. Lord, I thank you, you're the God of increase. So increase me in Jesus' name. Bring me increase. Increase my finances. Put your hand on my business, whatever it is. You know, with your heart you believe. With your heart you believe. Get your heart attached to your prayers right now. See, the problem with the church isn't God. It's not God who lacks any power. The problem with the church is the hearts of people are kind of lukewarm and just apathetic. There's nothing going on in the hearts of believers. So God has nothing to work with. But for 10 more, 15 more seconds, just continue to lift it up in prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Keep those hands lifted for a few more moments. You know, this is God's big idea. This is God's plan of salvation for the whole world, what's happening here this morning. He doesn't have anything up his sleeve. There's nothing new he's going to come up with. You know, I hear idiots all the time. I'm sorry, not idiots. Unintelligent people. You know, you go to churches and you know, the pastor's completely faithless, discouraged. And you'll hear people say things like, you know, the new big is actually small. You know, God's doing a big thing in a small way. And you just look at them and you want to slap them. Like, no. No. The need is greater than ever. The need is greater than ever. People are more broken than they've ever been. People are more lost than they've ever been. And people in the pulpit have the kahunas to say that, you know, what God's doing is small. No. 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 What God's doing is big. What God wants to do in your life is big. What God wants to do in New Freedom Church is big. Because the need is big. And this is what God has planned for this community. Churches full of believers. Churches full of faith. Churches full of hope. Churches full of miracles. Full churches. Packed out churches with people like you and me who needed Jesus, and someone had the courage, the boldness, like we heard in the testimonies, to tell you. You know what God wants to do is big. Say, something big is happening. Something big is happening here. Hallelujah. You know what God's doing here this morning? You know what God has for you here this morning? goodness and mercy. You know what 2024 holds for you? Goodness and mercy. The Bible says, surely, surely, and that's not a woman. That's a fact. Surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. You know, you preach that in a church and, you know, the pastor pulls you aside. Yeah, there's a weird lady named Shirley. She's been stalking my family and I. We're not talking about that Shirley. What does God have in store for you this end of the year and going into 2024? You don't have to wonder. Goodness and mercy is following me. Well, what does goodness look like? If you need healing and you get healed, man, that's good. If you have a business and your business is growing and multiplied, man, that's good. If you have kids and they come home and you know, they get saved, they get on fire for the Lord, man, that's a good thing. If you're believing for your church to grow and your church begins to multiply, man, that's a good thing. Goodness and mercy are going to follow you all the days of your life. Say that. I'm not going to have you repeat stuff all day, but just say it out loud. Say, goodness and mercy are what follow me. 2024, what are you going to have? What's going to follow New Freedom Church? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You may be seated. Thank you, Jesus. Now, we're going to have a good meeting this morning, but I want to encourage you. You know, I know you know things when you're a preacher. And I feel something is getting geared up to happen tonight. Tonight is going to be a good night. I'll say it even now. I believe we'll have more people here tonight than we have this morning. Tonight is a can't-miss night. And if you know people, you know, I like this church because they don't just sit and pray for people to come. They go out into the community. But I need your help tonight. I need your help. They need your help. We need you to tell people about what's happening in this church and bring people with you tonight. It's not hard. It's not complicated. But what God wants to do tonight is going to impact people's lives and people's eternities. And it has to do with the calling that God has placed on certain people. You know, there's a lot of people. The Bible says many are called. A lot of people are called. But few are chosen. And I believe that tonight God is going to be calling many people. Calling many people to serve Him, to work for Him, to do a great thing for Him. And they have to be in meetings where the Holy Spirit's moving. They have to be in meetings where faith is being taught. Or else many will hear that call and will go on their way. And they'll never make a decision like the disciples did. Lord, we left everything for you. You know, tonight God is going to do something like that. It's going to be very powerful, very holy. We're going to pray for the sick as well. It's going to be a powerful night. So if you know anyone that needs a miracle in their body, if you know anyone that needs to be saved, if you know anyone that needs hope, joy, peace, whatever it is they need, it's going to be here tonight. But now for you here this morning, I hope you're encouraged already just by that little opening. You know, Christianity is wonderful. Serving God is great. And what we're doing here on a Sunday morning is what God had planned. This is how God wants communities to be saved. This is how God wants America, Canada, Europe to be saved. This is His big idea. This isn't our idea. Pastor Lacey and Pastor David weren't smoking weed one night and came up with an idea. Hey, you know what? Let's get a building, get some speakers, invite a bunch of people, read about the Bible and sing. That sounds like a good idea. And then here you are because you're smoking weed as well. No. No, this is God's big idea. This is what God wanted when He sent His Son. He wanted strong churches all over the earth, full of faith, full of His Son, full of the Holy Ghost. And this is what has to grow. This is where, you know, God is putting the emphasis this morning. The local church. The local church is God's life raft to the world. The local church is God's gift to the world. The Bible says that when Jesus ascended, He gave gifts unto men. And one of those gifts He gave unto men, unto you, is pastors. Every community, God is looking for strong churches to be raised up. But a church is only as strong as its people. A church is only as strong as its people. And today, God is looking to strengthen people. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Galatians 3. Turn with me to Galatians 3. Or just stare at me. Either is okay. You know, we just came out of a number of week of meetings, first in Florida, then in Pittsburgh. And you know, a lot of people don't see the value in meetings. Like, why do you have to gather? I can, you know, be with Jesus in my living room. Why do we have to come multiple times a week? What's the big deal? But I can tell you, my life has been transformed by meetings. My life has been changed. My wife, her life has been transformed by meetings, by coming and hearing the word, coming and worshiping, coming and gathering with people to lift up the name of Jesus. And then the Holy Spirit comes, because he always comes. You know, we were up in Canada, and we have this businessman who really got behind our ministry, and he said, man, we have to do stuff. So we began doing stuff together. And then, you know, no churches wanted to have us. It's very religious up there. So we came up with an idea of putting up a tent. So he was like, don't worry, I'll take care of it. I'll fund it. But we have to do this. So we're on the phone talking about it as it's getting closer and closer. And he's getting nervous. And I'm thinking he's getting nervous because he's about to spend a lot of money. And there might not be many people that will come. So I'm like, you know, trying to rationalize with him and trying to like, you know, maybe we can figure something else out. And he's like, Nick, I don't care about spending the money, and I know people will come. But if people come and God doesn't come, then we're in trouble. And I'm like, well, bro, I'm not afraid of that. Because when I come, Jesus comes. I'm afraid that I'll come with Jesus and there'll be eight people. So we kind of met in the middle and we made it work. And we had an amazing time. You know, it was cold. It was drizzly, rainy, horrible, windy. But we had church under that tent on a gravel parking lot. And you know, we had no churches that would partner with us. We tried. None wanted to. So we put Facebook ads out. We put radio ads out. You know, we spent a lot of money. Well, he did. Not me. We. It's always we when it goes the right way. And it's, you know, that was your horrible idea when it doesn't go right. Like husbands and wives, right? Oh, this is my idea. Oh, honey, it was my idea, actually. No, we came up with it together. No. But when it goes wrong, oh, that was her idea. My silly wife, my hard-headed husband. So every night we had about 70 people under a tent in Winnipeg, Canada, in the cold, in the rain. And every night we had people saved. Every night we had people healed. You know, on the opening night, a lady came with cancer. What was it, bowel cancer or something? Breast cancer. Oh, yeah. The shirt I wanted to make. She's saying, don't talk about it. Anyway. Yeah, a woman came opening night with breast cancer. We prayed for her. She left completely healed. And then every other night, like many miracles. Wednesday night, there was a young man. He was one of our parking helpers. And he would always sit there and kind of look very depressed and like kind of discouraged, you know, head down, just kind of like to himself. And we had not a whole lot of room up in the front to pray for people, so I'd always tell people, if you need healing, let's go to the back. So I'm on my way to the back, and I see him, and I say, hey, I want to pray for you. Well, I didn't know what he was praying, but say God knew. Say God knew. God knew what he was praying. As I'm walking back, he's saying, Lord, I want to be prayed for, but I'm tired of church. I'm tired of religion. So if you want Nick to pray for me, he's going to have to call me out. Prayed that 2 seconds before I walked by him. I said, hey, come to the back. I want to pray for you. God knew. Amen. Whatever it is you're dealing with, I want to tell you, God knows. Yeah. Then why do we pray? Because he likes participating with us in it. God isn't an idiot, but he likes to be welcomed. He likes to be invited into your problems. And when you invite God into your problems, when you let Jesus come into your boat, things have to change. Yeah. But say that one more time. God knows. God knows. So he met me at the back. I prayed for the sick people. And then I went to him and I began praying for him. And the Holy Spirit nailed him. He was battling in his mind with all kinds of thoughts and doubts and insecurities. And the Lord nailed him with peace. The Bible says we have a peace that passes all understanding. You know, in the world they have anxiety. In the world they have depression. In the world they have heartbreak and sorrow. But in the kingdom, in church, we have peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. We have it. We're not trying to get it. We have it. You carry it on the inside of you, whether you know it or not. Whether you've been told it or not. But and I know you have because you go to a good church. But living on the inside of you is the love of God, the peace of God, the joy of God, the healing, miracle, working power of God on the inside of you lives Jesus. So I prayed for that young man. He got nailed by the peace of God. And you know, your best customer is a happy customer. Your best marketer is a happy customer. Your best salesman is someone whose life has been impacted by your product, and now they go and they tell other people. So he went to a Christian school, which those can be a nightmare. Anyone ever go to a Christian school growing up? Not very Christian. I mean, half of your teachers don't even believe the Bible. It's a mess. We know kids who went to a Christian school and it went south real quick. Because you see all kinds of hypocrisy and you're like, man, I don't want that. Kids are smart. Kids are very smart. I don't care if they're 6 years old. They can sniff you out and tell a lot of things. But he got touched profoundly. And the next night, you know, I would never go into the tent until like the last second, because the worst thing you can do as an evangelist is walk into a meeting when the place is half full. And then you're like, oh. And now you're trying to encourage yourself. No, it's worth it. You know, if only one gets saved, it's all worth it. And in your head, you're like, gosh, man, I could go to Walmart and get one person saved. Like, come on, Jesus. Where are all the people? But I come in and there's a whole two rows of young people. That young man, what, Micah? Micah is his name. That Micah had brought from his school. And then I gave a call for ministry. Like I'll give tonight, actually. And like 7 or 8 young people came forward, feeling that tug to full-time ministry. So then, you know, we prayed with them. And then I said, if you need healing, meet me at the back. It was such a great setup. I loved it. Like, people in the back would be like, just no nonsense. Like, my helper, he would be like praying with them, getting them all stirred up, because he had gone to healing school in Tampa, so he kind of knew how to like exercise that faith and get them charged. So we're praying for the sick, and I come to one of the young ladies that Micah had brought, and I'm thinking, what on earth could she need? Like, what do you need when you're 16 years old? You don't have arthritis, you don't have, you know, you look like a healthy young lady. So we come up to her, we say, hey, like, what do you need prayer for? And she was very shy, very timid. She said, I'm deaf in one ear. And I'm like, what? How old are you? 17. How long have you been deaf? So what had happened is she woke up one morning in February and her ear was completely shut. Couldn't hear a thing out of it. Not like, you know, half. No. Done. No hearing whatsoever. And Canada has free healthcare, so, you know, she went to the doctor like a good Canadian should. And they told her, what you have is, we can't do anything about it. It's irreversible. You're going to live with this your whole life. But young Micah, her little classmate, invited her to a meeting to hear a crazy evangelist from Florida. And what happened? My wife and I began to pray for her. And at first, it seemed like nothing was happening. But I don't give a rip. You don't quit. You don't stop praying until you see the mountain move. Yeah, you know, God is never holding back. Say, God isn't holding back. God isn't holding back. If there's a problem, it's on our side. And we deal with that problem. So we're praying and nothing was happening. But I continued praying. And I'm making it seem like it was minutes. It was like, you know, 30 seconds. And then because she was very shy, she wasn't very expressive. So I felt, you know, you feel it when it happens. So I'm like clicking. I'm like, can you hear that? And she's not reacting. She's like just nodding her head. And I'm like, no. Like, you're not going to hurt my feelings. But like, can you hear that? Because I'm expecting your ear opens. You're like freaking out, happy, crying, laughing. She's like, I'm like, you're not understanding me. You probably can't hear me. You're not hearing me very well. Like, come on. Like, can you hear? And then it broke. She just broke down crying. Yes, I can hear. I can hear. Her friends, they all began to hug each other. But how did that happen? It didn't happen because she was sitting in her room praying by herself. It happened because a young man who had got impacted the night before decided to tell people about this Jesus he had met under a tent. You know, we each carry, like I said, that same Jesus. That same Jesus that was under that tent in Winnipeg is here right now. That same Jesus that was walking the sea in Galilee, the Sea of Galilee and all through that region, that same Jesus that hung on the cross even is here. All the way in the woods. In what? Is this Sudlersville? Technically, yeah. He's here. He's here. And he doesn't come just for fun. I don't come here just for fun. I mean, I have loads of fun with them. But I told God, if I ever have a meeting and you don't show up, I'm done. Because I grew up in dead religion. Why do that? Why do that? No, if I ever preach and you don't come and confirm your word, I'm done. I'm done. But he's the same way for you. You know, you might be at your workplace. You know, I was in my workplace and I had legs growing out, sitting on paint cans. You know, big, burly construction guys getting healed on the job because little young Nick decided to step out in faith. You know, yesterday we had a few of the ladies praying with people and they said, oh, Nick, come over here. They need a miracle. Pray for them. I said, no, I don't want to pray. You pray. I'm not special. You have the same God I have living on the inside of you. And they prayed, and that woman probably was very impacted by your prayer. You have something to give. You have something real to give. But the one thing that'll stop you dead in your tracks as a believer is unbelief. The one thing that'll kill your faith and cause you to live a life of unbelief is condemnation. Say condemnation. Say no more condemnation. The Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That doesn't mean a little condemnation. No, that means none whatsoever. So I hope you found Galatians 3. If not, just go home. No, I'm joking. Now here's Paul talking, but really the whole word is God talking to you. And if you'll read the Bible that way, your life will get pretty exciting because you'll read believers heal the sick and you'll say, man, I wonder if I can do that. And you'll try and fail because I tried and failed. But one day it'll happen. You know, I tried to teach people how to heal the sick and I had never healed the sick. But I was too much of a wuss to go and pray for people by myself. So I had to manipulate and convince my friends to come with me so I could teach them how to heal the sick. So here I am beside my friend Ramel. Where is he from? Toronto, but he's from one of those countries, Ghana or something. So you have a skinny white kid and a black kid walking up to random people in Montreal saying, hey, can we pray for you? God wants to heal you. And again, I didn't want to look like I didn't have any faith or anything. So I'd be like, you know what? I've prayed for a lot of people. I'll let you take this one. And he'd pray for them and they'd get healed. And I'm like, oh man, wow. So I'd try, wouldn't work. Then I'm like really looking bad. So then he'd pray for the next person and they'd get healed. I'm like, man, I should quit. You should be teaching me. But he did it just because I said he could. And I even lied to him low key. Because I had never healed the sick. In faith I did, but not in reality. But say no more condemnation from today forward. The Bible says in Galatians 3, O foolish Galatians, who's bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. And this is what I want to ask you this morning. I only have one question for you this morning. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by working the law or by hearing with faith? Did you receive the Holy Spirit By keeping the law, by being a good little Christian, by going to church, by paying your tithes, by keeping the Big Ten. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by keeping the law, by working for it? Or did you receive the Holy Spirit, the kingdom of heaven, by hearing and believing? Hearing and believing. Say hearing and believing. How does Christianity work? Hearing and believing. What do you need to do to make God happy? Believe. What else? There's not a whole lot else. Believe. The disciples came to Jesus. Lord, what must we do to work the works of God? And here's what Jesus said. You know, I could imagine them, you know, rolling up their sleeves, getting ready. Oh, he's going to tell us we have to go and fast 40 days. He's going to tell us we have to pray for 10 hours a day. He's going to tell us, you know, we have to read the Torah for 10 hours a day. Like, we're ready. Whatever he says, we can do it. They're ready, right? Well, what do we have to do? Because we can do it. We can do a lot of things. We got this thing down pat, Jesus. What do we do to work the works of God like you do? How do we see blind eyes open? How do we see the dead raised? What do we do? Give us your top 10. Give us your 10 steps to miracle working power. And here's what Jesus said. This is the work of God that you believe. End of story. How do I work miracles? Believe. How do I see God move in my life? Believe. How did you get saved? Believe. You know, the reason why people are fed up with Christianity is because they come to church and they hear everything but believe. They hear clean your life up. They hear God can't come on an unclean vessel. They hear the Holy Spirit won't come on an unclean vessel. The Holy Spirit can't anoint an unclean vessel. And then what you have, nice, God-loving, genuine Christians thinking of their life, and they're like, man, I watch, you know, TV shows with cussing. I guess I'm not clean. Man, I smoked for 20 years. I mustn't be clean. Man, I lose my temper once in a while. I mustn't be clean. And they automatically disqualify themselves from being used of God. They immediately go into condemnation. But here, Paul is telling them with strong language, you idiot church of Galatia, you idiots. That's like if, you know, Pastor Tim had someone come in and they said, you idiot New Freedom people. Like, harsh, right? I mean, I'd get up and leave, probably. Like, no, you're an idiot. I'm leaving. And then he gets even stronger. You know, we talk about Halloween. We talk about Harry Potter. We talk about witchcraft. We talk about, you know, all that stuff. Here's what Paul described witchcraft as. He said, who has bewitched you? Or another version says, who cast a spell upon you? That's strong language coming from, you know, the apostle to the Gentiles. Who cursed you? Who put a spell on you? Who did all kinds of bewitching on you? And now he doesn't go into witchcraft. He doesn't go into spells. He doesn't go into potions. He doesn't go into, man, you let your kids do Halloween. And, you know, I'm not saying you should at all. But he was strong. Strong language. And when he said that, he had one thing in mind. People who come against the simplicity of the gospel, hearing and believing. People who try to add works, try to add keeping the law to now have right standing with God. He calls that bewitched. He calls people who live that way foolish. Yet you have churches all over America, all over Canada preaching that. You know, today I have good news for you. You know, when the angels came to the shepherds, they came and they said, behold, I bring you glad tidings of what great joy. You know, if you go to a church and what you're hearing doesn't cause joy to come on the inside, you're not hearing the gospel. Because the true gospel is too good to be true. You mean all I have to do is believe? Yes. What about the sin in my life? It's just believe. Yeah, but how do I stop? Believe. Yeah, but what do I do? How can I be more holy? Believe. Yeah, but what more can I do? There must be more, right? No. Believe. Believe. If you can believe, Jesus said, you'll see the kingdom of heaven. Not if you can pray, not if you can fast, not if you keep the law. No, if you can believe. You know, I came here this morning to take a weight off your back. I came here this morning to take a weight off your back. God is only looking for one thing from you here this morning. Believe. Because if he can get you to believe, everything else, the sin, the addiction, the problems, everything else, the wrong believing, if you can start where he told you to start and stay there. Because if you go on to read, he said, you began this race so well. Right? We start by hearing and believing. Man, Jesus loves me. He'll forgive me of all my sins. All I have to do is ask him to come on in and clean me up. Yeah, okay, I'll pray that prayer 100%. And you pray that prayer with simple childlike faith, and you're as saved as Billy Graham was. But then you start walking this thing out, and now you think, okay, it can't be that easy. There has to be something else, right? Let me add good works to it. Let me score a couple points with the man upstairs. Let me do some good things. Yeah, they're doing an outreach. Yeah, I want God to answer my prayers. I'm gonna go to that outreach. Paul calls that foolishness. If you can get in your heart this morning, all God is looking for is belief. All God is looking for is for you to believe. Then your life will transform. You know, people would come to this great man of God in South Africa, and he had probably the second largest healing ministry of any man of God that ever walked the earth, second to possibly T.L. Osborne, a great man of God. I'm talking cripples, you know, bowed legs straightening out, the dead being raised on film, like that kind of miracle. And people would come to him and be like, man, I'm praying and nothing's happening. What should I do? And he'd look at them because he understood this. He'd say, maybe stop praying. What? Yeah, stop praying. Because you're praying as a work. So you're not going to receive anything because you're not doing it in faith. What do I do? My ministry isn't growing. Pray less. Maybe go smoke a cigarette. And you know, he would say that to offend their minds, to reveal how much they were relying on their own works, how much they were relying on their goodness, how much they were relying on their faithfulness. I get up every day at 4 a.m. I pray in tongues for 3 hours. Then I go and I fast until noon. And then I go out and I win 5 people to Jesus. Why isn't my ministry growing? That's why. Because you've taken Jesus, you pushed him to the side, and you think that you have something to add to the finished work of the cross. Today, all God wants is faith. Believe me. Believe that I sent Jesus. Believe that Jesus paid for all your sins. Believe that Jesus paid the price for you to be right with God. For you to be made holy apart from keeping any laws or any rules. But that because of one man, Jesus, you'd be able to stand before God perfect, holy, blameless, just here I am. And then the enemy will come. Yeah, but remember what you did last week? And then you have a decision. Yeah, but remember what Jesus did 2,000 years ago? Remember that blood that was shed 2,000 years ago? Remember that sacrifice that was made for me 2,000 years ago? I think I'm going to go with that. Amen. And then as you fall in love with Jesus, because again, good news brings great joy. Great joy brings strength. Strength brings consistency. And then before you know it, you're running this thing hard and fast. But you always come back to that place of, it's all because of Jesus. You know, they would come to that same man, or even Pastor Rodney, or even Jonathan. You know, Jonathan is so blessed, and people come to him like, what'd you do? And you know, he has certain things that he'll point them to. You know, I got radical in my giving. My confession was always strong. I put God first. But really now, he says, there's nothing I'm doing to make this happen. It's God. Like, I can't touch it. It's him. You know, that's faith. You know, there's nothing I can do but believe. You know, today, God is inviting you to believe. Get away from all the works. Get away from all the hard, you know, complicatedness of what people have told you faith is. And become like a child again this morning. To where if he said it, I believe it, and it's finished. Period. Period. I'm going to have what God says I can have because I believe that Jesus paid it all. You don't have to pay anything to have God love you. You don't have to pay anything to have God's best in your life. You can't add anything to what Jesus did. All you can do is believe and receive. You know, the Bible says that if you can believe, again, not work, believe. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who what? Believes. Believe. What do you have to believe? That Jesus is the Son of God. That he died on the cross to make you right with God. That he rose on the third day to break the back of the devil and break the hold of devil in every area, physical, spiritual, financial, that the enemy is defeated. Why? Because Jesus paid it all. So right now, if I could get every head bowed and every eye closed. You know, the gospel is very simple. And the gospel is very good news. Great news. Too good to be true news. You know, if people aren't accusing you of preaching easy believism or whatever it is, then you're not really preaching the gospel. Because they believe, they accuse Paul of stuff like that. But Paul understood, and he had a vision. He saw the price that was paid. And he was a smart man. He refused to try to add anything else to what had already been paid for. Today and this morning, I just want to encourage you. The price has been paid. Your debt is paid in full. You don't owe anything to God. It's been paid for. You're not in debt. But you have to believe and you have to receive. You know, Jesus isn't going to crawl back up on that cross. He did it once and for all. And 2,000 years later, that sacrifice, that blood, is still as powerful now as it was the day he hung on that cross. I don't know what it is you're facing in your life. I don't know what it is the devil's been telling you. But I want to be the one to tell you on behalf of God. God loves you. God does have a good plan for your life. God loves you. And God has a great plan for your life. It's not his idea for you to struggle. It's not his idea for you to suffer. It's not his idea for you to be in pain. No. It's his idea for you to come into his kingdom. Where the Bible says there's goodness and mercy. Where the Bible says that he wipes away your tears. That he becomes a father to you. He becomes a helper to you. He becomes your God and you become his child. If you're in this place and you want to give your life to Jesus, maybe you've been living like the foolish Galatians where you've been believing and then you've been trying. And then you've been believing and then you've been trying. And you know, when you live that way, you can't help but fall on your face time and time again because you're doing it your way, not God's way. God's way is come and believe and let me clean you up. Come and believe and let me take that stony heart and work it into a heart of flesh. Come and believe and let me take that addiction. You don't have to try to stop. I'll make you stop because I'm so great and powerful. If you're here today and you want to give your life to Jesus, I want to pray with you. So if you're here, and you fit in any of these two categories, we're going to pray together. So listen close. If you're like those Galatians, where you've been believing in Jesus, but then also trying your darndest to live for him, and like I said, you just keep failing. There's that sin that you keep going back to. That bottle, that cigarette pack, that whatever it might be. It doesn't matter. Today, he's here to take that, to break that off your life. But you have to come to him. And you have to believe him. You have to believe that his sacrifice was enough. And you can't try to add anything anymore. So that's category number one. You're a Christian, but things are tough. You've been trying your best and failing, and you're tired and you just want to come home. Or then group number two. You know, you never really have given your life to Jesus. You might have gone to church a couple times with your grandma or whatever, but it never became real to you. All you heard was, you know, condemning messages, people telling you why you weren't good enough, why you weren't qualified, why God couldn't love you, why God couldn't bless you. And this morning you're hearing the gospel that, no, Jesus actually paid it all. And that because of Jesus and his blood, God can't help but bless you. God can't help but love you. God can't help but do a work in your life. If you're in any of those two categories, on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to put your hand up and we'll pray together. One, God loves you with an unfailing love. Two, God's plans for you are only good. Three, just put your hand up. I see those hands. I see those hands. Thank you, Jesus. I'll give a few more minutes, a few more moments, I mean. You don't have to try to clean yourself up. He'll take care of that. But you have to believe and have to be willing to come. Thank you, Jesus. If you lifted your hand, I'm just going to invite you to come to the front and we'll pray together. And this isn't a mass crusade, so I saw every hand. Praise God. Just come forward. Don't be shy. There we go.
I've been saved, but I'd like to be saved again.
Amen. Just line up here. If you can help me, Mason, line them up. Oh, they can line up over there. We don't have 20,000 people. Line up on that carpet line. That way I'm not in the mic stands. Yeah, face this way. Awesome. So I just close your eyes, lift your hands, and pray. And then after we pray, if you're already a member here, good. You can go back to your seat. If you're not, I'm going to send you over to Pastor Lacey, and she'll get you sorted. But like I said, all you have to do is believe. The Bible says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you will be saved. That easy? Yes, that easy. So say, Jesus, I give you my life. I give you my life. Come and live in me. Come and make me new. Come and change my life. Where I've been weak, make me strong. Where I've struggled, help me. Thank you that heaven is my home. Thank you that heaven is my home. That I'm a child of God. Now and forever. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now I'm going to pray for you. Father, I thank you for everyone who came forward to recommit or just give you their life. Lord, I thank you that you only have good things ahead for them. That, Lord, they've made the best decision they could have ever made. And it's not only a decision that'll affect them, but their entire household. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you that when we get to heaven, not one person would be missing, but that they would all be there. And Lord, I thank you that you raise them up and use them in a powerful way, and that you help them from today forward. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Pastor Lacey, if you can just, this is Pastor Lacey. If you're a member here, you can sit down. If you're not, just follow her. Come on, give them a round of applause. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's a happy moment. Now, I went to one church. What church was it where the altar call was like a dead funeral? Was it Winnipeg? Pennsylvania. Yeah. I did an altar call. So many people came forward to get saved. Not one smile even in the crowd. And I rebuked them. I told them, you're missing it. You've missed it. You know, I don't take this lightly. I don't take what I do lightly. You know, this isn't, like I said in the beginning, something that we do for fun. No, this is a holy thing. How we gather every Sunday, this is holy. The calling of God is a holy calling, where he calls you to be used of him, and he backs you up. You know, if I went to any nation as an ambassador on behalf of America, Canada, you know, I'd be received with respect and honor. And that's what you are. You're an ambassador for Jesus. You know, that's why I take it serious. That's why I'm very kind of black and white. because this isn't something I do for fun. And I see that this is what God wants to do in the earth. So I'm going to begin to pray. I'm going to see what God wants to do real quick. But I want to encourage every single person here. Come. Come tonight. I have plans. Cancel your plans. It's quite simple. It's not complicated. Tell them I'm going to church and you're coming with me. Because God has something for people here tonight. God has something for you tonight. But God has something for you this morning. So if we could turn that music up. If you're here, I just want you to begin to pray. Maybe your life is wonderful, perfect, without any issues. Cool. I'm happy for you. Pray for your neighbor. Pray for the person next to you. You know, my heart is to see New Freedom multiply. Double, triple in size. So everyone here, before we move on, I want you to just bow your head, close your eyes. You know, how does a church double? Well, if everybody brings somebody, it's doubled already. And this isn't just for tonight. You know, I'm here for a day and then I'm gone. If you think I'm just trying to get a big crowd for tonight, bring them tomorrow, next Sunday. I don't care. But ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, show me one person, one family. I want to do my part. I want to build your kingdom. I don't want to get to heaven and have no fruit. I want to do my part. I want to build your kingdom here on earth. And I understand now that the local church is where it's at, is what you're doing in the earth today is the local church. And I believe now the Holy Spirit is bringing people to your mind. He's showing you people. Well, how can I know? That's how you know. It's the Holy Spirit. How do you hear the voice of God? You're hearing it right now. He's showing you people. He's showing you people. You know, I have a childhood friend that lives all the way up in Canada. And while I was on a prayer walk, the Lord quickened him to my heart, and I've been praying for him aggressively that he'd be saved. Now, I don't have a church up there to bring him to. I don't even live up there. But I'm believing that he'll get saved. And, I'll preach to him and whatever when I see him. But you guys live in this community. You work with people from this community. The Holy Spirit will show you. And you begin to pray for that person. And you invite them. Next time I come, the church will have doubled. It's not hard, people. Invite one person. Fill the seat next to you. Your church has already doubled. It's not all Caleb's job. It's not all Pastor Tim's job. It's not all up to Pastor Lacey and Pastor David. No. You get to build God's kingdom. You get to build God's kingdom. And that's what hit me in these past meetings. And I'm a preacher. But the Lord hit me with the importance of His kingdom. You know, the Bible says, seek first the kingdom. Not money. Not a nice job. Not a nice family. Not a nice vacation home. No, seek first my kingdom. Be about my kingdom. Be obsessed with growing my kingdom. And how do you grow the kingdom? People. Because the kingdom of heaven is carried in people. So I'll give you a few more moments. I want you to begin to pray for whoever you saw, whoever the Lord showed you. And now faith without works is dead. So text them when you leave church. Hey, praying for you, love you. You know, my friend, doesn't know God, as godless as could be. He had a miscarriage. You know, he saw me posting about miracles a number of years ago. So, you know, people will tell you stuff. You got to pick up on it. He told me, man, I just had a miscarriage. So then the next time he got pregnant, I spoke, I prayed. And, you know, no miscarriage. He had a wonderful birth. And then the next time, And then the next time, now they're pregnant again. He was hunting up in Saskatchewan, and he wasn't seeing anything. I prayed. I said, today you're going to get something. Well, he got two elk. Not just one, two. And it's been happening like that. But I'll text them, man, I'm praying for your pregnancy. God has his hand on that baby. He doesn't understand what I'm saying, but he'll call me and just chit-chat and, you know, linger on the phone. Why? Because he wants what I have. He just doesn't know how to have it. And he's looking to see if I'll be consistent or if I'll, you know what, change my mind on this whole thing and come to my senses. You have a part to play. You have the privilege of building the kingdom of heaven here on earth. Amen. So now just continue praying. Pray for whatever you want. The Holy Spirit is here. The Holy Spirit is here. If you need healing in your body, just lift your hands. Begin talking to Jesus. Tell him what you need. Tell him what you need. Thank him that it's already been paid for. I feel the Holy Spirit. Shut in with God for a few more moments. We'll have a blowout tonight. Don't worry. I'll lay hands on everyone and go full on crazy Pentecostal. But this is the core group. You know, these are the faithful. So I got to build you up. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have so many things going on in my spirit, but most of it's for tonight. You know, God cares about people here. While I was on the plane, I put worship music on, and I just began getting download after download for certain people in this church. Why? I don't know. That's what God does. Some people are going to come head-to-head with a train tonight. It'll be good. It'll be very good. Thank you, Jesus. If I could pray for that couple right there. You two, yeah. Do you mind coming to the front? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We have a privilege here, folks. We get to build God's kingdom. We get to build it in people. Thank you, Lord. God has your number. God has your number. Thank you, Jesus. Just close your eyes. Let the Holy Spirit minister to you. Because He is here in power. He is here in power. If you need healing, just lift your hands. In Jesus' name. I curse sickness in your body. I curse sickness in your body. In Jesus' name. And I command you to be healed right now. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for these young women. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. That's the Holy Spirit that you're feeling all over you. That's the one Pastor David was talking about when he got up. And that's the one that Jesus said, I won't leave you as an orphan. But I'll send you a comforter. The Holy Spirit, the mighty Holy Spirit. He is here. And that's Him right now wrapping His arms around you. I hear it. I hear it as clear as day. So many things have been said against you. So many lies have been spoken against you. To where your identity at times, you're like, I don't even know who I am or why am I'm even on earth. just completely trashed. Why? Because the devil hates you. Because you have a voice. You have a purpose. And even when you were a young girl, he tried to just crush the life out of you by things that people did to you. But I see him right now reaching his loving hands deep down on the inside of you and taking away that pain and taking away the sting of everything that was done to you. Because here's what God has to say. God says, I love you. God says, before you were knit together in your mother's womb, I saw you, I knew you, and I had a good plan for you. I know life has been hard. I know life has been tiresome. And you're a fighter. So you've never actually really, you know, considered suicide. But the thought has been there. But from today forward, that lie of the enemy and that hardship that the enemy brought to you is being broken now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name. If I could get Pastor Lacey to come. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Enough is enough. Enough is enough in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. It's a new day for both of you. It's a new day. It's a new day. It's a brand new day. You say, why are they crying? Because God read their mail. Because God cares about them. Why does the Holy Spirit have to move? Why can't we just leave real quick? That's why. That's why. Because people have 40 years of hell on earth that they live with. And then what? You want a 30-minute church service to clean up 40 years of what the enemy did? You're an idiot. Not you, the hypothetical person that I'm rebuking. I'm like a kid fighting with people in my brain. You ever leave an argument and you think of 20 good things you should have said and you're like, man, next time. I'm like a schizophrenic person right now. Just lift your hands. Close your eyes. It's okay. Father, in the name of Jesus. You know, at the beginning of the service when I said pray, God heard your prayer. That thing that you were praying for. I don't know it and he's not showing me it. That's okay. I'm not the Wizard of Oz. But God knows exactly what you were praying for. And I just hear it's done in Jesus' name. I hear it's done in Jesus' name. Now you'll have to walk. There'll be a little walking it out. You know, it won't look immediate. But you don't walk by what you see. You walk by faith. That simple faith I was talking about. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. There it is. There it is. In Jesus' name. Father, may they receive exactly what they're believing you for. In Jesus' name. And I see an increase coming. I don't know what you do exactly, but I see an increase. I saw like an overflow coming to what you're doing. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name. There it is. Just receive it now in Jesus' name. Receive it now in Jesus' name. Put your hands on your stomach, please. In Jesus' mighty name. Out of your innermost being begins to bubble up a river of living water. In Jesus' name. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Could I pray with you? Who'd you come with? But you know, I forget his name. Travis? Is he your friend too? Sweet. Cool. Come here. Are you used to church? Not really, huh? Is this all new to you? I like that. Just lift your hands. Close your eyes. So the same way you've been seeing, you know, people reacting, they're not reacting to like some random thing. No, there's a tangible, real God the Bible talks about. And you're feeling it right now. You're already feeling it. So Holy Spirit, right now, in Jesus' mighty name, undeniable evidence of how real you are, Lord, in Jesus' name. Come here, baby. In Jesus' name. My wife's going to pray with you as well. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Jesus. That's the Holy Ghost. You know, your grandkids are running amok. This is what they need. What they need is here. God is here. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Ashlyn, come pray with her. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're almost done. Don't grow weary on me. Your plans that are not really plans will still be there 15 minutes from now. Who's coming tonight? I got someone with a gun up there. If you don't put your hand up, you don't see him, but I see him. Come tonight. Can I pray with you? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. God is such a good God. 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 Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Why about you go and lay your hands on him and just flow in the Holy Ghost. God is building his church here this morning. The hand is helping the foot is helping the ear. I don't know what I'm doing. Can I pray with you? Come here. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. There's okay. Just lift your hands. Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says that if you hunger and thirst, you will be filled. And I see a great hunger on the inside of you. A great hunger. A great hunger for those around you. To be used. To be a blessing. And to see real impact. To see people encounter Jesus. So that your community, your household, your friends will be saved. The moment I lay my hands on you, you receive an impartation for miracles. Your hands are going to burn when you get around sick people. All you got to do is just like I've been saying all day, believe. Put your hands and just begin to speak. And they'll be healed in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Did you need healing, Paul? Is that your name? Bob? Sorry. Come on. What do you need?
Prostate cancer.
Prostate cancer?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you in any kind of treatment right now?
No.
Or are they monitoring it whatsoever?
Yeah, I'm getting a biopsy next month.
Okay, cool.
So,
in Jesus' name. Father, right now we curse cancer. We curse cancer in Jesus' name. We curse cancer now in Jesus' name. God, take it from him now in Jesus' name. It's gone.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I'm not going to take up an offering right now. We're going to do that tonight. But I want to encourage everyone, you know, come back. But also, God's going to be challenging people here tonight in many different areas. You know, T.L. Osborne said, you're either called to go or to send. And there's a challenge that comes for both. There's a challenge to go, to lay everything aside and follow Jesus. Go to Bible school, go into all the world, do the thing. And then there's a challenge to send, for people's hearts to be so touched and so moved to see God's kingdom built and advanced on earth that they sacrifice to see this gospel moved forward. God's going to be doing something great here tonight. The Bible talks about a man named Cornelius, how his giving and his prayers came up before God as a sweet-smelling aroma, a beautiful act of worship. And for tonight, there's two things. I mean, I'm going to preach hard. It's going to be really fun. But the overall thing is, I just really see like oil. How do you get oil? You press. You press the olives. How do you get wine? You press the grapes. And I see God is going to be pressing people tonight. Amen. And here's the mistake many people make. They think that when God begins to press, it's to hurt them, to take away from them, to somehow harm them. But when you, whatever sacrifice you make for God, there's always a reward on the other side of it. The Bible says whoever comes to God must believe that He is. We all believe that He is. There's no unbelievers here. And then you have to believe that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. You know, my wife and I, we purposed in our heart to give our biggest seed ever by the end of the year. And, you know, we're about to do that. Why? Because we're tired of the level we've been at. It's time to go forward. And the only way up in the kingdom is down. You have to sacrifice. And on the other side of your sacrifice, there's life. Jesus said, if you're trying to save your life, you're going to lose it. But if you give up your life, like these young ladies did, they gave themselves to God today, you'll find it. Like Pastor David said, the seed dies and it looks hopeless and then it springs up a beautiful plant. So who's going to bring someone tonight? Again, my sniper's up there. He's watching. And he doesn't miss like some people in this church. Not looking at anyone. I'm not looking at anyone. It's going to be a great night tonight. I hope you've been blessed this morning. Amen. Bring someone. Bring someone. And then that person that the Lord showed you, text them. Tell them about, you know, just text them. Love on them. And start working on them. Pray for them 10 minutes a day. On your drive to work, you pray for them. Enough praying for money or whatever. No, pray for that person. Lord, bring them in. Let them be saved. Let their whole household sit with me in church. And God will do it. Amen? Amen. I'm coming back to a bigger church. Amen? Amen. And there'll be more people here tonight than there were this morning. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Yeah, give the Lord a hand clap. Amen. I'm not going to keep you either, but I will say this. This isn't a religious ceremony. It's an interaction with Almighty God. And there's a lot of hurting people out there that put out something, they cover what they're going through, but it is the simple gospel that transforms people's lives. And that's what you experience today. Doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to be shouting. It doesn't have to be kicking. Nothing. It's just the gospel. It's the good news of Jesus Christ. Jesus is here today, and He's going to be here tonight, and He's going to be with you this day as you leave here. So I encourage you. I take it a step farther. Go through your contacts. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Go through your contacts, and He'll lead people to you that maybe you haven't talked to in a while that you want to touch base and say, come on, I got something to go to tonight. I want you to come with me. Invite them, and they can have a transformation. The scripture that came to me is Ephesians 2, 8, 9. For by grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast. The grace of God is here. He loves people, and His power is going to be revealed through them. So I encourage you tonight, come back. Come back with a car full. Amen? We're going to see the glory of God, the presence, and He's going to manifest. Amen? Amen. God bless you. Have a great day. We'll see you back here 6:30 tonight. Amen.
Amen.